is from the New Testament, Paul's second letter to Timothy. Chapter 1, and I'll be reading just verses 1 through 7, not 1 through 14. 1 through 7. Listen again to God's word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm getting over a cold this week, so if I sound a little scratchy or croaky, I am feeling much better, but I am still getting over my cold. If you saw the newspaper, or if you looked at some of the posts on Facebook, you know that 225 years ago yesterday, President George Washington sat in this sanctuary, right here in this sanctuary, and worshiped God while he was in Carlisle, organizing troops to head west to put down what we know as the Whiskey Rebellion. Many of you are familiar with this history and cherish our connection with the first president. I was thinking about Washington's visit this week and wondering what Carlisle must have been like in 1794. It wasn't quite the edge of the wilderness, but it was pretty close. The population, yes, it was expanding westward, but all the major cities were still on the East Coast. Settlers had been streaming into this fertile valley for decades because they recognized the good farmland. And while life was good for many of the citizens of Carlisle in 1794, it wasn't necessarily easy, especially by our standards today. That made me think in turn about Paul as he writes to Timothy some 1700 years earlier while he is sitting in a Roman jail cell. Paul's nearing the end of his earthly life, and this is certainly not the first time that he has seen the inside of a jail. Ever since Paul met the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, his life has not been what he thought it would be. It has been completely, totally different, completely, totally changed from where Paul had been when he was growing up and when he was a young man. His life has changed. Paul now faces hardship and persecution. He's been arrested numerous times, He's been run out of town, threatened, chased, ridiculed by the Romans and the Jewish religious leaders and countless others. Paul has not had an easy life. Not by our standards today, really not by any standards. And yet, as you read Paul's letter, you can sense it, you can see it, you can feel that Paul is filled with gratitude and with joy as he writes to young Timothy. Paul is grateful. He is grateful to God for the blessings he has received, for the call to be an apostle of Jesus Christ and to proclaim the good news of Christ's incarnation, death, and resurrection. And Paul is grateful, as he writes to Timothy, he's grateful for Timothy and for Timothy's faith, a faith that has lived first in his grandmother Lois and then in his mother Eunice, and which Paul says now almost certainly lives on in Timothy himself. Paul's witness inspires me. It inspires me because I am pretty sure that if I was the one sitting in a jail cell, Roman or any other kind, I don't think I would be able to rejoice and give thanks to God. I'm pretty sure I would just be scared, terrified, at wit's end. And the only thing I would be thinking about would be how to get out. The only prayer I might be able to utter would be, God, get me out of this place. I'm grateful that our lives don't have the kind of hardship that Paul and the other early Christians faced. We have freedom of religion in this country. No one is going to put you in jail for preaching the gospel. But we live in a world where millions of Christians do face hardships, like the ones Paul endured. As I said during the announcements, tomorrow I'm leaving to spend some time in the Middle East with our Christian brothers and sisters from churches in Egypt and Lebanon and Syria and Iraq, as they try to figure out how to do church and mission to be the body of Christ together in a place where it's sometimes very difficult to be the body of Christ, where it's difficult to be a follower of Jesus. And yet every time I visit with these dear, sweet brothers and sisters, I am amazed and inspired by their joy and their gratitude, because they are deeply joyful people. And they are deeply grateful for all that God has done for them. And so that makes me wonder about me. What's wrong with me? And it makes me wonder about Christians in North America. What's wrong with us? Do I rejoice? Do we rejoice? Do I give thanks? Do we give thanks? Am I grateful? Are we grateful? We are incredibly blessed people. We live with freedoms that are unimaginable for many. So shouldn't we be the most joyful, most grateful people on earth? I'm not here to minimize anyone's struggles this morning. I'm not here to poo-poo your suffering. I've known you long enough now to know that many of you have faced major difficulties in life, that many of you have indeed suffered for various reasons. We all face some sort of suffering or hardship at some time. We lose jobs, marriages fall apart, children disappoint, health fails, we die. And yet in the midst of trials, much worse than these, sitting in a Roman jail cell, Paul is able to give thanks and rejoice. How does he do it? How does he do it? What is his secret? Is Paul some kind of Superman? Is he just one of those really annoying people who is always happy, who just wakes up and jumps out of bed with a smile plastered on your face? I'm not a morning person, and so those of you who do that, I find you just a little bit annoying. But I still love you. So what's Paul's deal? How is it that Paul can give thanks? How is it that he can rejoice sitting in the middle of a Roman jail? Paul is clear. Paul is clear about the suffering and the hardships that he faces. They are awful. They are truly awful. And yet, Paul knows that in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of his hardship, in the middle of that Roman jail cell, God is with him. God is with him in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is with him in suffering and hardship because God himself has endured unimaginable hardship and suffering on the cross. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer. Jesus knows what it means to suffer. That's why Paul urges Timothy to rekindle the gift of God, to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Rekindle the gift, Paul writes. In other words, he's saying to Timothy, remember, Timothy, the gift of God that is in you, the gift that you receive through the laying on of hands. What is that gift, though? What is the gift that Timothy is to remember? What has God given to Paul and to Timothy, and yes, even to you and to me? The gift is God himself. The gift is God himself. It is God in Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, one of us, fully human, fully divine. Paul urges Timothy to remember that God is with him. That God is with this young disciple in the incarnate Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is how, and it is why Paul is able to rejoice and give thanks in the midst of his suffering. Because he knows that God is with him, because he knows that the Holy Spirit surrounds him, and that the Spirit is not a spirit of cowardice, but the Holy Spirit is a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. That is how Paul rejoices. When we struggle to rejoice, when we find it hard to give thanks, I wonder if that just means that we need to be reminded, like Timothy, to rekindle the gift of God that is within us. I think it's probably something that we all need to be reminded of each and every day, because it's easy. It's easy for many of us, myself included, to lose sight of God, to forget about God's presence in the midst of our daily living. We get busy. We get caught up in the stuff of life, in jobs and family and meetings and appointments and activities. And we get so caught up that by the time our heads hit the pillow at night, at the end of the day, we've run out of time. We've run out of time and energy to spend with God. And it doesn't matter if the day has been good or if the day has been bad. We're busy, tired people. Excuse me. That's why Paul says, rekindle the gift. That's why he says, remember. You don't go through your life on your own, young Timothy. Your grandmother knew that. Your mother knew that. That's what they taught you. That God is with you. That God is with you in good times and bad. So you can give thanks in the midst of hardship and rejoice in suffering. Because even then, particularly then, God is with you. I think those are words that we need today. Rekindle the gift. Remember. Remember that God is with you, because the world, it offers us a dizzying array of distractions. Like a pastor who can't stop coughing. But who has a cough drop? The world offers us a dizzying array of distractions. And when we get distracted, we forget. We forget what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. We forget that God calls us to continue his ministry, to be the hands and feet of Christ in a broken and hurting world. Today is Mission Sunday, a time when we do something a little different after worship. All right, we're still going to eat, but then we will be packing cleanup buckets for Church World Service. It's a tangible reminder and expression of our gratitude to God in Jesus Christ. These buckets are used for disaster relief all over the world. Most recently, they've gone to the Bahamas after Hurricane Dorian hit there. As we do this work, as you put brushes or gloves or detergent inside the buckets, think about how they will be used. Pray for the people who will be using them, because their lives will be filled with suffering and hardship when they open that bucket. But hopefully, when they reach inside, when they take those items out and use them to begin rebuilding their lives, hopefully they will feel the love of a group of Christians from South Central Pennsylvania who love them, even though we don't know them. Suffering and hardship comes in all shapes and sizes, whether it's on the American frontier 225 years ago, or in a Roman jail cell, or on a tropical island after a hurricane. In those places, and in every time and place, God is present. God is with us in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. So remember this. Remember this as you come to the table today. Remember this and be strengthened that God is with us. That God is with us as we go out into the world to serve the Lord, rejoicing and giving thanks.